Right, mic's on. Hopefully that's working. Good. Morning, everyone. My name is Rick. I'm one of the pastors here. And just before I kick off, a couple of, not really announcements, but just see Izzy in the back there. Welcome. Lovely to have you back from uni. Great to see you this morning. And then seems to be there's a birthday in the house. Mr. McCallion turned 19 today. If I was only 19, I think that's how the song goes. Sean, happy birthday, mate. Lovely to share this day with you. So, but as Neil said, we're continuing on in our series, looking at some of the parables that Jesus told. And today we're looking at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44 to 46. Where Jesus tells his disciples two very short stories. The stories are linked because they tell the same story, but from a slightly different perspective. Or maybe it's better to say that the two parables bring home the same point at the end, but they do so via two very different experiences and two different characters. So let's see what the Word of God says. It's the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. So Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So most of chapter 13 in Matthew is a record of Jesus telling parables. He tells the parable of the sower. You might know some of these if you know your way around the Bible. The parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. And Jesus tells these parables firstly to the crowd, and then Jesus left the crowd and he went into a house. And the disciples came into the house with him and they asked him to explain the parable of the weeds to them. And Jesus explains the parable in great detail. And then just before going on to tell them another parable called the parable of the fishers caught in the net, he tells these two short parables, which are the focus of our time this morning. And what's noteworthy in all of this is that Jesus is describing the kingdom through his parables. Jesus begins the parables by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then goes on to tell you the parable. Some of the parables were more involved and needed explaining, well, at least to the disciples. And I'm always so encouraged in moments like this, because sometimes when I'm reading the Bible and I'm reading what Jesus has to say, I get to the end of that passage and I find that I need some explanation. And so I'm always so encouraged when the disciples had to come to Jesus and say, what? And Jesus did explain the parable of the sower and the parable of the weeds to the disciples. And I would encourage you, if you haven't, go and read chapter 13. It's a wonderful example of the way that Jesus uses everyday pictures to help people understand his kingdom. And then he got to the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. Let's read it again. It's so short. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had
and bought it. So my first question to you this morning is, have you found the treasure? There seems to be a deep longing in the heart of people that is searching for something. The human heart searches and searches, pursuing something, almost anything that will satisfy the longings in our heart. Our hearts are always seeking treasure. Augustine famously said of our searching hearts, "Our hearts are restless, Lord, until they find their rest in you." This restlessness, this searching is a part of who we are and how we've been made. And then the two characters in these parables that we've just read shows us something that our hearts are always searching. The first man, in one sense, didn't even know he was searching. In the parable, we are told that the man simply found the treasure. There's no mention that he set out on a treasure hunt that morning. Many commentators believe that the man here is most likely a tenant farmer, meaning that he was working the land, but someone else owned it. They also infer from the parable that he is most likely just undertaking his daily tasks and then came across the treasure. It wasn't uncommon in that time for you, if you had treasure and at the risk of being invaded by some marauding army, that you would then bury your treasure in the ground, and then perhaps years pass and you pass on, and then it comes to another, and then someone digs up this treasure. It was like the safety deposit box of the time. So this man was sort of working his normal daily job, potentially not even thinking about treasure, and then in an instant, he came across the treasure. The second man, the merchant, he was looking. His whole job was searching for that one pearl. Pearls were seen at the time as the ultimate in luxury item, often placed in necklaces, and was valued above most other gems and precious metals. And this merchant bought and sold pearls for a living. He was always on the hunt for that one pearl among the pearls. Searching, 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 and then he found it. The merchant was searching. He was intentional. And then he found it. And what we can take from reading these two parables together is that whether you are intentionally looking or whether you actually just stumble across it, the treasure is available for you. Whether you're a rich merchant or a tenant farmer, you can still discover the treasure. The treasure, of course, speaks of Jesus and his kingdom. And we see from the two parables that the treasure is not just for a certain type of person. It's for the poor farmer and the rich merchant. It's for the intentional seeker and the one who isn't even looking. For rich and poor, for seeking and lost. The treasure of the kingdom, the treasure of Jesus Christ, is for all. So the question this morning is, have you found the treasure? If you're seeking, have you found it? Well, perhaps you wouldn't even consider yourself looking for it, but this morning you might just have stumbled upon it. Have you found the treasure? I'm so useless at slides. I don't even know why I do them. This is the tenant farmer, just catching you up. This is the rich merchant. Now, I particularly chose this one because there is a kid's Bible that is just the Bible Stories, I think it's called. And it's a little green book. And
I mean, my oldest is here, he's 19. And so we've had this for such a long time. And it has this Bible story of the rich merchant. You could actually just, you can find it. I found it on YouTube yesterday, someone reading it. Anyway, sorry, little sidebar, my history. It's all, anyway. Love that Bible, love reading it to my kids. If you've found the treasure, perhaps even this morning, the next question to answer is, do you see the value and worth of the treasure? And it's an important question to ask, because sometimes we can come across something and not recognize its value. You see, both men in the parables found the treasure, but crucially recognized its value. I don't know if anyone is a fan of the Antique Roadshow. I know it's not the edgiest of shows to refer to, but I love it. I love hearing the stories of how people come to own or possess certain items, certain treasure. And I particularly love watching those moments when someone discovered something in the loft or at a car boot and thought it was interesting and just decided to bring it onto the show. And the valuer is there, and you can see the valuer is beside themselves, and the owner's a bit curious. Oh, I found myself on the actual show. I didn't know that was going to happen. And then the crowd is all around them. See, I'm trying to make the Antique Roadshow quite, you know, it's quite happening, but just bear with me, I love it. And then the antique expert explains the amazing history of this item, where it came from and the pedigree, and then the moment everyone's waiting for. The antique expert says, and now to the value. And the best stories on the Antique Roadshow are the ones where the person has found this item in the back of the loft in some dusty old box, or they bought it at the car boot sale for a fiver, and they've bought it on here. And the expert says, it's now worth some hundreds or thousands of pounds. And the owner is just knocked off their feet, and the crowd cheer, and the expert, the delight you can see on their face. And the higher the value, the more precious that moment is. Have you seen the true value of the treasure before you? Or maybe you're still on a journey of faith. Perhaps you are still yet to discover the treasure. Either way, when we find the treasure, do we recognize its true value, its beauty, and its preciousness? You see, sometimes in the seasons of our faith, Neil referred to it earlier, the trials of life, or indeed the temptations that a life without Christ seems to offer, can begin to wear us down and make our faith feel sometimes more like a list of rules or things to do in order to be a good and moral person. And when the pressures of life bear down on us such that that happens, we end up holding that which is priceless and yet not recognizing its value. And maybe that's you today, somewhat worn down, somewhat stretched to capacity with the reality of the life that you are now living, and your faith has become tired and lifeless, and for some of us, boring. And this reminds me a bit of the story of WCC. Up until a few months ago, our church offices and hall, the artist formerly known as Waden Christian Center, was a bit tired, a bit smelly, and a bit tarnished. We used to joke about our children. We haven't for a while because it's changing. But we used to joke with our children that they would know that we'd been at Waden Christian Center because of the aroma that we carried after being there.
My kids would come and sniff me and say, "Oh, you've been at Waden Christian Center." It was tired, lifeless, and a bit boring. But when you think about it, it was and it is a treasure amongst us. Perhaps we just lost sight of its value and its worth. And now with the refurbishment that's happening and all the amazing work that Esther and Neil and Sean and all the many helping hands have done, the treasure that has always been there has been made ever more clear for everyone to see and to know and experience. It was tired, lifeless, and boring, but it wasn't meant to be so. And these two parables also remind us that tired, lifeless, and boring is not how it's meant to be for you and I as followers of Jesus. Discovering Jesus as the pearl of great price, it's finding the greatest treasure one can ever find and knowing that it's yours to obtain. But I don't mean that life isn't hard and that there aren't seasons of life that are overwhelming. And indeed, some aspects of our lives may well be with us forever. And I don't ever want to minimize what each of us has to face in our lives. And I've spoken with many of you and some this week. And I know how complex and confusing and chronic some of our lives are and the situations we face. But how much more in those seasons do we need to know the true value of the treasure that is found in the person of Jesus Christ? When life involves ongoing, persistent and enduring challenges that we did not sign up for, we need an anchor to steady us against the relentless tide that will come and try and squeeze the treasure out of us, that will do all it can to tarnish over the treasure so that we don't see it properly. And it's in those seasons, more than anything else, that we need to see clearly the treasure, value the treasure rightly, and cling to the treasure, cling to Jesus Christ with all that we have. And what I want to do this morning is to remind you of the treasure that you have discovered as a follower of Jesus, or to ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you, if you aren't a follower of Jesus, the wonder and beauty and preciousness of the treasure who is Jesus Christ. I want to help, if it's needed this morning, to dust off that treasure. Or perhaps it's better to say, to ask God to clean out your eyes or to clean your glasses so that you can see again. You see, I don't want anyone leaving this morning with the only true priceless treasure going unnoticed in a dusty old box at the back of the loft. I want to help you see the treasure of Jesus that has been given for you. You see, the treasure of Jesus satisfies our deepest longings in all our hearts. That ache for love and forgiveness, for meaning, purpose, and calling. The treasure found in the person of Jesus Christ washes away your shame and your guilt, the fear of failure, or the lingering negative feelings of an actual failure. What's more, the person of Jesus Christ answers those deepest longings of identity and belonging. Jesus declares that you are a son or a daughter of God, a new creation, washed clean by his blood and now freed from the power of sin. In the treasure of the person of Jesus Christ, your greatest successes now become reasons to give thanks to God and to praise his name. And your greatest failure, perceived or real, is washed away in the forgiveness of Christ, and the shame and condemnation is taken off you. You are not a failure, but a child of God. You are not covered in shame, but covered in the blood of Christ that sets you free and washes you spotlessly clean. And the treasure of the person of Jesus Christ declares that you belong in the family of God. Your place is within the community of the saints. That is his family. That is the church. Where do you belong and where do I belong as a child of God in the family of God? This is the treasure of the person of Jesus Christ. This is what I am hoping we will all see more clearly today. This is what I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and for you to help us, you and I, to rediscover that treasure, that pricelessness, that joy. And just like our parable shows us, whether you're here this morning searching for the treasure or whether you're just going about your daily routine, not thinking you are looking for anything much, my prayer is, Holy Spirit, come in power this morning and bring about such a revelation of the person of Jesus Christ that we will see the treasure that we have in him. And it's not just that we see the treasure, but know him for all he is. Because when that happens, we discover the why that leads to the what. And this is my third point this morning. When we discover the treasure and know its true value and worth, we also encounter the why that leads to the what. We read that first parable again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought the field. In his joy. And discovering the treasure, seeing its true worth, and experiencing its value, we discover a joy that's birthed in us over the treasure. You see, the joy is the why that leads to the what. Joy is a discovery of Jesus Christ as the treasure hidden in the field, is as the pearl of great price. The joy of knowing what we now possess in him and experiencing the true value and true worth and the true beauty of the person of Jesus Christ. Do you see, my dear brothers and sisters, our joy leads to action. Our joy leads to us doing something. In his joy, he went off and sold all he had so that he could buy the field to obtain the treasure. At the joy of finding the pearl of great price, he took all that he had built up and sold it so that he could keep and obtain the pearl. Now, we don't want to read the parable wrong. It's not saying that we can buy our way into Christ or into the kingdom. But what the parable is saying, that as we know and see and value and experience the wonder and the beauty of Jesus Christ, this joy comes up and we are able to give all and to sacrifice all to gain him. This is the what must I do of the parable. Jesus is telling his disciples, when you discover the treasure, when you realize who is before you, you give all, you sacrifice all, you lay down all to take up and to take hold of the treasure of Jesus Christ. And you discover a joy in knowing this treasure that far surpasses anything else. Better is one day. Far surpasses any false god, any idol of wealth, power, or status, and any vision of the good life that this world promotes to us. All these things pale into insignificance at the wonder, beauty, love, forgiveness, mercy, and grace, the treasure beyond measure that is found in Jesus Christ. Do you see the why? why the joy that is birthed in you and in me when we discover the treasure. That's why I'm so passionate this morning about helping you discover and rediscover and see and value the treasure of Jesus Christ. When that joy is birthed in us, it leads to the what. What must I do this morning? And we need to ask God by His Holy Spirit to reveal the treasure to us. Whether that be the first time or whether it's more of a case of God needing to clean our glasses or clean out our eyes. This is not about a list of things to do in the misguided hope that we'll become a good moral person. This is so much more like the experience of falling in love. The wonder of finding your people and your place. We give our all to the one who's given His all for us. And that is my prayer for us this morning. That is my hope for us right now. I am desperate for you to know and experience the true treasure and wonder and beauty of Jesus Christ. He is the one that answers our deepest questions about who we are and where we belong. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." The one who says, "I forgive you." The one who says, "I have always loved you. I've loved you in your success, and I've loved you in your failure." Because when we know the treasure, we begin to see His true value. When we begin to see His true value, we can experience that beauty and we can do the following. You and I can go out and in the joy of discovering Him, we can sell all to obtain the treasure. We can lay down our lives. We can sacrifice all to find our lives in Him. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Catherine and the band, if they can come up. In my notes, I say we have time, and I seem to keep to time, so we do have time this morning. What we're going to do is worship, and we're going to ask God to come and minister to us. Because this is not about words that I've written on the page. This is about the Holy Spirit coming in power and revealing to you the treasure of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit coming and helping you to rediscover the power and the beauty and the wonder of the treasure of Jesus Christ. And that's what He does want to do this morning. And so we're going to create some space. And we're going to ask the Spirit to minister to us and to reveal Jesus Christ, the true treasure. And we haven't done this for a long time. And I'm not intentionally making or wanting to make anyone feel uncomfortable. I kind of like that a little bit, but I'm just kidding. So we're going to clear out some of the chairs here. And I'd encourage all of us, you don't have to, of course, you can. But I want us to come together without perhaps the barriers of the chairs and just spend time in worship. We've got 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and I'm going to pray just now as we come to worship, and I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and reveal Jesus. And as we're worshiping, the Spirit is going to move amongst us. But if that's you this morning, if you are sensing, yeah, I need to rediscover. I need to have my glasses cleaned up. I need to see aright again. We'd love to pray with you. Love to ask the Spirit of God to minister to your hearts in the middle of that. So let's do this. Let's do this really quickly. Sorry if you sat in these front rows. Please, if you want to just stand, we just want to pull these chairs to the side. And I'd really encourage everyone
to come. If you don't feel comfortable, that's absolutely fine. But we just want to create some space here. Guys, thank you very much for helping out. Let's pull these chairs to the side. And then we're going to come and we're going to worship in the middle here. We're going to have a time of worship. And if you want prayer, then please do come and tap me on the shoulder. There'll be Neil as well. There'll be a number of us here. We just want to ask God to come as we worship and to minister to Him as He ministers to us. So, Lord, thank you. So this was not what I was hoping, that there'd be a big empty space and just move the chairs further back. So I just want to encourage you, even if you're visiting here for the first time, this might be a little odd for you, that's fine, come and join us. We're just going to worship God together in that freedom, in the joy of worshiping Him in spirit and truth. So Lord, come, I ask you, Holy Spirit, thank you that you've been with us this morning already. And as we come now to worship you, we want to open our hearts and our minds to receive a revelation of Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Only you reveal Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Only you change hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Only you can untarnish a tarnished treasure. That is our desire and our ask of you in the mighty name of Jesus this morning. As we worship you, minister amongst us, minister amongst your people, minister amongst the praises of your people. Your word declares you inhabit the praises of your people. Come and be with us and inhabit our praises and minister to our hearts, I pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name. And as the time's ready and right in your worship, you come and please take the communion here at the front. But we're going to worship Him now in Jesus' name. Catherine, thank you.
Here I stand before you now.